FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by U.S. Gold Corp. U.S. Gold Corp is a U.S.-focused gold exploration and development company advancing high-potential projects in Wyoming and Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp has consolidated a district on Nevada's productive Cortex Trend and is advancing the Copper King project towards production in Wyoming. Led by a team of prolific company builders and renowned explorers, including Dave Mathewson, who is directly responsible for several major Nevada gold discoveries, U.S. Gold Corp is well-capitalized and has an extremely tight share structure with less than 20 million shares outstanding and trades on the NASDAQ, a major exchange, under the ticker symbol USAU. To learn more, go to usgoldcorp.gold. That's usgoldcorp.gold.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Carrie Lutz. It's 3/19/19. Well, right now, gold up $3.50 the ounce, right around to that $13.07 mark. Silver up 4 cents the ounce. That's down from earlier this morning, but let's not forget, it's gone back to its old pattern of knocking down the price of metals right before the close of COMEX, which is 135. So maybe there's something to that. I won't aver, but person you're about to hear from has issues with gold. You should consider them and act accordingly, and always research your decisions and do your own due diligence. So, Buck Joffrey, you're back with us, former physician who discovered the world of real estate investing and has never looked back. And by the way, if you got a question for Buck or myself, email is kl@carrielutz.com. So, Buck, welcome. So, you have a preference of real estate over gold, and that's causing some controversy. Where is it coming from?
Well, there's inner turmoil. I mean, I've always been, you know, in this real asset world. And so for me to sort of come out of the proverbial closet and say I'm not buying or even owning gold anymore is kind of a big, big step for me. And I know it's going to make me, a target.
I don't know. Maybe you flatter yourself a little too much, but certainly it is controversial. I'll go with you there.
Yeah, no, I think it's controversial. And I think it's not that I don't like gold. I think gold is money, right? And I think gold is money. I think it's been money for thousands of years. But looking at it from the standpoint of, as an investment, I have focused primarily on real estate, obviously, and I've always in the past have held gold. But for me, the value I'm starting to see in my opinion is that I don't see a lot of value in accumulating gold, particularly, precious metals, for a few reasons. I think really, the reason that I personally believed in holding gold and having that was that I've always considered gold the anti-dollar, right? I mean, when the dollar gets weak, the gold gets stronger. Or if you could just say gold is real money, and the dollar seems to always get weaker against gold over a period of time, right? Because it's losing value. I think you could say the same thing for real estate. I think you can say the same thing for multifamily real estate in particular, which is my area. I think that generally speaking, that if you look at larger, say, multifamily assets, which is what my equity group is primarily interested in, I mean, foreign money comes in from China, et cetera, and they take down a $25, $30 million asset. They might not even leverage. What are they doing? Well, they're just getting their money offshore and putting it into a gigantic piece of gold that throws, some cash flow off. And so that's really my change in perspective.
All right. So here's a couple of questions for you. So you think that the dollar is going to remain stable and gold will underperform it, if you will, or Is that what you're thinking is?
I don't think that. I don't. And in fact, I don't think that this is not a reflecting of how I think gold will perform per se. I think what my point is that, you know, if I'm going to, if I have money to invest, I want to invest that money personally, preferentially into an asset that I can, you know, that I can leverage, that I can get potentially get cash flow. And that seems to behave similarly to gold in that, you know, it real estate gains value against the dollar. So I think gold, I'm sure gold, you know, I don't consider myself an expert in the value of gold. I do think gold prices are pretty suppressed right now. And so there may be some value in it. But for me personally, I don't see as much utility in spending a lot of money in gold as opposed to accumulating more real estate.
Mm-hmm. So let's give a couple of scenarios how real estate's going to play out, how gold's going to play out. Let's say this dreaded international reset really happens. I'm not saying that it will. And you wake up one Monday morning to hear the fact that all the currencies have been realigned and have been reevaluated in accordance with gold. And this is the Jim Rickard scenario. What do you think is going to play out better in that situation, gold or real estate?
Well, I think you bring up an interesting point, but I also don't think that, you know, I've had Jim Rickards on my podcast several times. I think the idea that we're going to go back to a gold standard, I think there's going to be a lot of pushback against that globally. And if that were to happen, yeah, I'm sure gold would probably outperform real estate. But that said, remember that in owning real estate, it's not you're owning something that's fiat, right? It retains a value. And as long as whatever you denominate that value in, I think the price of real estate will rise accordingly. So to me, in that regard, if you're looking at this as a Jim Rickards type play, ironically, that's a more speculative play. To believe that gold is all of a sudden become, you know, we're going to go back to a gold standard, I think much more likely we'll go to some sort of standard drawing rights, SDR standard, which will be a basket of currencies. I think that the global economy and the countries around the world are much more likely to accept that than a gold standard again.
Mm. Well, I'm not saying a gold standard. That's not what I meant to imply. Just that they revalue their currencies in accordance with gold, but not so much being on a gold standard. I think that's never going to happen. But under an event like that, the price of gold is sure to escalate. All I'm saying is that gold has properties. It's been a safe haven investment for 5,000 or more years. And well, you can make a case that things have changed to have a certain portion, 5-10% of your portfolio invested in precious metals, probably not such a bad thing. Not saying no, I put agree. Everything
5-10%, but again, if I'm looking at gold that way, I'm looking at it as money. I'm not really looking at it as an investment.
Yeah, right? An insurance policy. Quite plain and simple.
And to the extent that, you know, then the question comes in my mind, and perhaps you can tell me this, is that if that were the case, would you be better off owning real physical metal, or do you think the GLD ETF would implode with some kind of global reset at the same time?
It's got weaknesses, GLD, and that is that you don't know who's holding the gold and how much of it and where it is, and even if it exists or not, you really have no idea because of those inherent weaknesses that exploit the reporting requirements of the SEC rules and laws. You don't know. And the same with SLV. Certain other vehicles, you do know. You know, one was the I can't remember the name of it right now, but Sprott took it over, CEF, Consolidated mm-hmm. Fund of Canada. So that, you know, they do have it, as certain as you could be. I mean, look, if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, collapse, financial collapse, probably gold might not do you much good. But in terms of real economic volatility, uncertainty, you know, one thing that's never going to happen is your gold is never going to get burned down. It might get stolen. You're never going to have tenants go on a rent strike or tenants who can't afford to pay you because everything's been revalued. Now, that's not an argument against real estate by any stretch. It's just illustrative of a need to have an insurance policy for those times when who the heck knows what's going to happen. Do you think, Buck, do you think people in Venezuela 20 years ago thought they would be eating out of garbage trucks now? If you go back and ask them? No.
Well, they can't exactly leave Venezuela with a bucket of gold either.
Yeah, but there's a vibrant black market in cryptocurrencies and precious metals and anything of value, any physical item of value for barter. You know, it's kind of a reversionary interest, reversion back to an earlier time. You know, that's what happens when monetary systems break down. I'm not saying it's going to happen in the U.S. All I'm saying is, look, if you knew in 5 years, Buck, you were going to have a heart attack and die, and right now is undiagnosable, would you go buy an insurance policy? I would venture to say yes.
I think your point is well taken, and I certainly, again, don't argue that, you know, that owning gold is foolish, and that in the amounts that you're talking about, 5-10%, I mean, people hold that much in terms of money in general, right? Mm-hmm. But what I'm talking about is, you know, people who are really gold heavy, people who are investing 30-40% into gold. Now, hey, listen, by all means, go ahead and do it. But personal philosophy for me, first of all, I have to tell you that I do not believe that we have a zombie apocalypse coming. And I'm not in that, you know, I don't believe that. I think that, you know, maybe in a decade or so when some of the demographic issues really come together. But I think we've got, you know, a good 10 years of a strong economy. And so to the extent that I think that, you know, the zombie apocalypse is not coming, I don't see a lot of value in being gold heavy right now. And to the extent of actual utility. Now, listen, I actually have, you know, a monster box, right? Mm-hmm. I think silver, being able to use some coins and stuff like that, would have a lot more volatility of a zombie apocalypse than, you know, big chunk of gold. And to me, as an investor, I have to look at a lot of things. I look at not – if I don't believe that something's going to happen the world is going to collapse kind of feeling, that the majority of my money has to go towards what I believe is useful in building wealth. And for me, what's problematic with gold is that it doesn't throw off any cash flow. It doesn't allow me to improve it. We can argue about liquidity. I don't believe there is as much liquidity. If you do it properly and you follow the rules, you're gonna have punitive taxes, whereas I pay basically no taxes and make seven figures. I think that it's hard to borrow against it. There's lots of things for me as the way that I've, you know, created my own wealth that gold doesn't really allow me to do.
Well, let me ask you a question, Buck. Did you see the crash of 08, 09 coming?
No, of course I didn't. But you know, let me tell you this. In 2008, 2009, my father's in real estate. That was the most he made more money in 2008, 2009 than he ever did.
Yeah.
And my real estate friends who like Robert Kiyosaki, Ken McElroy, all of them will tell you the same thing.
Well, but the point is, all right, nobody saw it coming. I happen to have. And I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. Otherwise, I would have really cleaned up on it. Had no idea how to play mortgage-backed securities and sell them short. But if I'd known that, I would have done it, had the money. But point is that there are these unforeseeable events that seem very obvious when you look back. But when you're looking forward, it's like, hey, there's a hurricane forming off the coast of Africa. And is it going to hit Florida? You know, I don't know, but I do know that that hurricane's forming. And I do know that governments have been extremely irresponsible and profligate in their spending and are raising prodigious amounts of debt. It seems to be the only thing we produce anymore in the U.S. is treasuries. And I know that history has told me these trends are unsustainable. I'm also looking at states going bankrupt, like New Jersey, like Illinois, like several other, that are going to require a federal bailout because I don't believe the feds will let them go bankrupt. But all of this is on the horizon, and it's very clear that it's coming. Pensions going bust, everything else. So
I guess I don't want to understand the argument as that as it relates to the value of real estate. I mean, if anything, I'm looking at that and saying what you're talking about is the inevitability of inflation and devaluation of the dollar, which I agree with.
100%. Something like something that we can't even conceive of is what I'm talking about. And I don't think real estate will protect you against that. And I think the odds get higher each day that some kind of major event of dealing with his debt is going to have to take place. And therefore, in times of uncertainty, there's only one investment that has ever worked, that has ever been effective. And you go back to Reichmark, pre-collapse of Germany prior to World War II. You know, you go back to all of these hyperinflations that we've seen, and I'm not predicting a hyperinflation. I'm just predicting an event.
You and me are on completely different pages because I don't believe that we are in a situation in our current economy in the United States to call it Venezuela or to suggest that it has anything to do with
What's going to happen? Well, let me ask you, what's going to happen when Illinois finally goes bankrupt, when they can't pay their debts anymore?
Well, I think there will be bailouts.
What's going to happen? Yeah, you think the Fed's just going to write a check? People, there's going to be blood in the streets. What happens when Chicago goes bust? It's going to go bust. There's no question about it. Just like Detroit, unlike states, cities can go bankrupt. What happens when New York City goes bankrupt? What happens when California goes? All of this is going to happen.
I've been hearing, honestly, I've been hearing this for 10 years now, right?
The situation has gotten worse.
And I've heard this from the last 3 or 4 years. In the meantime, I've made hundreds of percents on my money, right?
I'm happy for you. And I'm not saying you shouldn't be in real estate.
And I'm not saying you shouldn't buy gold. I'm telling you why I'm not interested in being over heavy in gold. But
we agree.
To the extent that you're talking about all the issues that there are in the economy, we don't disagree. But I think where we disagree is how do you play that, right? Yeah.
Well,
how do you play that?
You have to keep doing what you're doing now if it's working, obviously, but to have an insurance policy, and that's strictly how I view precious metals, as an insurance policy is always a good idea. So we can move on to the next topic here. We'll agree to disagree on the rest. So when it comes to real estate, what do you put your money into and how does Joe Sixpack make this work?
Well, unfortunately, I don't really work with Joe Sixpack. Generally, most of my group is in the accredited investor world.
So Joe McCallan's 18-year-old scotch. What does Joe McCallan do?
Joe McCallan. So basically what we're doing right now is, we're focusing on, we're still buying property below the value of construction. We closed on a $25 million asset in Houston that would have cost us, probably about 30% more to build it. Mm-hmm. And we're doing major value add capital expenditure type plays on these. We're taking sub-institutional assets and selling them to institutions at a premium. And so it's worked for us repeatedly. And we're doing this, obviously we don't have one investor, although we do have some family offices, et cetera, that get involved with, $10 million at a time. But we've got people who are coming in at, $50,000 or $25,000 at a time.
Selling units. Okay. So you're selling units. It's a private placement. What's it filed under? What section? Reg A or D?
Typically Reg D. They're also typically Reg D 506B. Mm-hmm. They're part of my my equity group. That's primarily listeners of my podcast who generally are interested in potentially getting involved. They go through a little process of the usual qualifications of being qualified as an accredited investor. So,
yeah. All right. So Joe McCallum has a chance. Joe Sixpack is going to have to become Joe Threepack then, huh?
Well, at least, that's the reality. I don't pretend to be the one to, if you don't meet the criteria of an accredited investor, which is, most of my audience is, which is, $200,000 per year or $300,000 per year for filing jointly, or $1 million of net worth outside of your primary residence. That's mm-hmm. what an accredited investor is. And if you don't meet those criteria, typically, I'm not trying to create, a show where I talk to everybody, because that's not, I'm just talking about what I believe in and what I do on a daily basis. So, mm-hmm. so that's
better
what I
focus to talk
on.
To people with money, because people yeah. without money aren't going to do anything for you.
There may be some truth to that, but I started this show, I started the show before I was aggregating funds. And, mm-hmm. Listen, my background is, I'm not a rags to riches guy. I grew up in an upper middle class, home where my dad's a real estate investor. Mm-hmm. I went to medical school. I was a surgeon, so I don't know. It would be disingenuous of me to try to pretend that I'm talking to others. So, you sure. can call it what you wish to call it, but that's okay.
Hey, that's totally reasonable. And it's a good business. Let's face it. So one good thing though, about being a surgeon is when the zombie apocalypse occurs, your services will definitely be in demand. No question about it. So you're covered either way. You don't need to worry about it.
Practice insurance going up.
I don't think in the zombie apocalypse you're going to have to worry about malpractice.
Zombies can become vampires in those situations, just like the rest.
Just like the legal profession now, for sure. Right. Hey, so Buck, when you're not like out there making tons of money, what do you do for fun in your life?
I don't have any fun, Gary. I never have any fun. No, I have little kids. I live a normal life. I take them to birthday parties. I just do dad stuff. I'm just a dad, really. I don't really talk to, I don't talk business around, my neighbors and friends, et cetera.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. No one wants to hear how much money you have anyway. It's a bad taste. Well,
Where I live, I'm probably the poorest guy around. So,
all right. So that's good to know. And, but to Joe Sixpack, have a little compassion for him. What should Joe Sixpack be doing here?
Well, listen, I don't think it's, at the end of the day, I am a Robert Kiyosaki devotee, although Robert, probably, if you heard me talking about gold, would never, never talk to me again, but the truth of the matter is, I do listen. I'm the son of immigrants who came in the late '60s with no money. My dad was buying single family homes and duplexes, and slowly worked himself up and did the American dream. To the extent that I believe that, you wonder why I believe in real estate. Right. I mean, it created, my dad worked at a post office and went to school when he first got here. Mm-hmm. And now 50 years or, 50 years later, has been extremely successful. I think it doesn't matter if you're Joe Sixpack or if you're an accredited investor. The value of real estate is real. It is proven. You've talked about gold being around for thousands of years. Well, so has real estate. People have owned land and rented land out and landowners and
of course
that it's not new, right? So mm-hmm. these things are in the same bucket. And at the end of the day, there you could participate in things the way I'm talking about. But to this day, my dad buys, you know, low income housing. That's what he's interested in. Really? And it's not very expensive. And if you're Joe Sixpack and you're willing to do some of the work, you could do it.
Yeah, I like it. And I agree. I've seen people make a lot of money since the last crash here in Florida, especially. Any markets you're looking at, particularly hot markets, any markets to stay away from?
Markets I like are, my favorites are still Phoenix, Scottsdale. I think Houston, particularly in areas that are not, you know, in the flood zones, Houston is remarkably hot. Few people know this, but it seems like if you look at U-Haul statistics, it's, you know, this behind Sacramento and Roseville corridor, which is in Northern California, which I would not invest in. It has got the highest influx of population. It's it's got 20 Fortune 500 headquarters there. Its population growth is expected to double in the next 3 decades. So I think that's underrated. I like Dallas, although Dallas is, you know, still one of those places that has a lot to grow. It has been hot for a long time. I also like Atlanta. Those are things that I like. I generally like to stay away from natural disasters as much as possible. I'm not in the Southeast like a lot of people are interested in being in. So,
yeah, well, natural disasters aren't what they used to be anyway. Now the government just writes one big check and everybody's happy. And, I've been through two hurricanes here in Florida. The last one was a bad one, and the amount and the newer properties, amount of damage you have, minimal. Yeah, if we get that hurricane 180 mile an hour Cat 5, all bets are off. But, playing the percentages and playing history, we just haven't ever seen one of those. Now, the house I'm in could easily sustain a Cat 4 hurricane with very minimal damage. Little bit of roof damage perhaps, but that's it. The garage doors are like reinforced. It would take a tank to break it down. And we got this impact glass that sustains 180 mile an hour impacts. And basically the thing's concrete block. So not a lot to go wrong. Hey, people want to find out more about you, your podcast. Where do we go?
Yeah, go to Wealth Formula Podcast, usual places. It's also wealthformula.com. Just the usual. I'm on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, pretty much probably everywhere you are.
Yeah, probably. I think I'm on all of those and lots more, but hey, it's a interesting world out there, Buck. We're really thrilled to have you back on. It's been great speaking with you. Questions for Buck about this gold versus real estate? I don't really view them as mutually exclusive.
It's just, you know, it's for me, it's putting them in their boxes or baskets for me.
Sure. So. I gotcha. And so just email us, kl@carrylutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook, Financial Survival Network. Buck, appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.